So the sermon today is cargo. Cargo. Have you ever studied the word burden? It is clearly a biblical term, mentioned over 80 times in Scripture. What are burdens? Interesting sidelight. If you look up the word burden in the Bible, the word cargo, you'll see that it means burden. So cargo means burden. How do we deal with burdens? What are the sources of burdens in the Bible? Are there different kinds of burdens? What are we supposed to do with burdens? Are there different procedures for different kinds of burdens? Let's see. First, let's look at what the dictionary says. Something that is carried is a burden. Something that is emotionally difficult to bear. A source of great worry or stress. It's a weight. Sometimes you'll hear somebody saying a great weight was taken off their shoulders, and they're talking about the fact that a burden has been removed from them. Other definitions and synonyms I found are that which is born with difficulty, obligation, onus, as in the burden of leadership, the weight of a ship's cargo. So that weight of the ship's cargo is the burden. In metallurgy, the minerals charged into a blast furnace or steel-making furnace. Also means sin or iniquity, and clearly the sins that we are working to overcome are burdens. Sin, anytime we commit a sin, that's a burden because we know that it's a sin. We carry that with us. We repent of that sin, so we repent of the burden. It also means trouble, impediment or encumbrance, afflictions and sufferings, a severe task or difficult duty requiring effort, and worries and sorrows. And I suppose we could add to the list Satan. Satan is a burden. Satan is the ruler of this world right now, and he's a burden to all first fruits in that he doesn't like us. If there is somebody that currently hates you, that's a burden, I would think, for both parties. Let's take a look at some of those items from the list I just gave you and give you scripture. So we're going to look at some of these synonyms and definitions and give you a scripture for each. Sin, Psalm 38 and verse 4, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too much for me. And clearly when we're caught up in sin, that can be a heavy burden. And I've had discussions with myself and with others about what sin does to one. It is something that weighs on you. It is a burden, and that's why God wants us to overcome sin, because all sin is a burden. All sin is the breaking of the law, but it's all. And why is it against the law? Why are certain things against the law? Because they result in burdens, sorrows, and that type of thing. The consequence of sin is a burden. In ship cargo, let's look at Acts 21, verses 2 and 3. This is a journey of Paul. And you'll see that he is referring to it in the correct way here. Acts 21, beginning in verse 2. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unladen her burden. So the ship's cargo is a burden. And in a way, we are like a ship. We are sometimes we refer to our life as we're taking a ride through life, and you'll hear the term, she came with a lot of baggage. And so the things that we go through our lives, the emotional scars, that's called baggage. Baggage is cargo. Cargo is a burden. So when we refer to somebody, well, that person's carrying a lot of baggage, they're carrying a burden. So if there's somebody coming new into our midst who is working through problems, that problem is a burden. Or if they're carrying scars from the past, and it seems that we all have baggage from the past, that is part of the burden that we carry, and of course God is working with us to rid our lives of unwanted, unneeded burdens. in regards to the furnace, look at Deuteronomy 4 and verse 20, talking about Egypt as a burden. So here's another item to your list of what a burden could be for the nation of Israel. It was Egypt. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 20, "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day." So he brought them out of a burden. He took the burden off of them by bringing them out. And we often refer to the first fruits in many ways, using the metaphor of Israel coming out of Egypt, coming out of the world, coming out of Egypt, being baptized, going through the Red Sea. We use those type of phrases. So clearly, when you're coming out of Egypt, which is likened to another definition for burden, sin, you're coming out of Egypt. And here it is referred to as the iron furnace. Interesting, too, when God talks about refining us, he puts us into the furnace. He tries us with fire and refines us like a person would silver. And we've talked about that a metaphor many times. Troubles, Psalms 25, verse 17. "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distresses." Clearly, distresses is the burden here. Impediment, or the immovable obstacle. And we've had sermons on how to overcome immovable obstacles, haven't we? Luke 18, verses 25 through 27. Giving you an example of an impediment or something that's impossible. "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye," and of course a needle was a narrow gate into the city, "than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." So it is. It's impossible for some of the things that we encounter as first fruits. They're impossible. They're the immovable obstacle before us. A lot of times that immovable obstacle is sin. And it's impossible for us to move the immovable. But with God, all things are possible. We learned that in our sermon on faith and having the same faith that God has, to know that he can remove the immovable obstacle, the impediment before us. For afflictions and sufferings, we have 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 and 4. "That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." So you're appointed unto afflictions and sufferings, to burdens. "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." So here's Paul stating that, hey, I told you guys that it is appointed unto us to have burdens, to have afflictions and sufferings. And that came to pass when we suffered tribulation. I told you it was going to happen. It did. Well, God's telling us the same thing. Under severe task or difficult duty, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings." So we see there a number of burdens for the not only the ministry, but I'm sure that these things happened to first fruits back in the day and may happen again. "For worries and sorrows," we have Luke 21:34. "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of the life, so that day come upon you unawares." And Psalms 38:17, "For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me." Interesting verse there, in that somebody is being beset with burden. And he says, "I'm ready to halt, for my sorrow is continually before me." If it hasn't happened already, there's going to be times when the burdens before you make you want to just give up and quit. Well, God doesn't want that, and we're going to see other verses to that. I want to go back to that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 3 that speaks to all these things being appointed to us. So we are now looking at burdens appointed to us. Burdens appointed to us, 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 and 4 again, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. So we shouldn't take this as a surprise or take it necessarily personally, because it's appointed to us. It says, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So trials, tribulations, you know, God working with us, testing us, putting us into the furnace, as it were. These are things that we know that are appointed to us. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, meaning you can think back on those days. Let us look at more scriptures that prove us. So these are going to be scriptures that show that burdens were appointed to us. Matthew 10, 16 through 18. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but aware of men, for they shall deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you with her in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. I would call that a burden. So that's something that will, he's telling us that this will happen to some of us. Matthew 24, prophetic scriptures here. Matthew 24, verses 9 and 10. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Sounds to me like those people that trade those burdens to betray and offend and hate are picking up a whole new set of burdens, because causing offense, causing betrayal, and essentially here falling from the salvation process, one would have to be falling from the process to be doing that. As we see later in Matthew 24, brother smiting brother. John 15, 19 through 21, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So you see, God has chosen you. With that choosing comes burdens. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So we go on to Acts 14:22. Acts 14:22, we're still looking at burdens appointed to us, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through what? Much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. In that much tribulation are all the burdens. Acts 20:23, save that the Holy Spirit witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. As we as first fruits go about our business in the salvation process, being out of the world, there will be bonds and afflictions abiding about you. Acts 21, verse 13, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So that is Paul understanding that with this calling comes burdens. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9, for I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. 2 Timothy 3, verses 11 and 12, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Interesting. So we got the burdens listed and the fact that the first fruit, Paul, endured it. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. So what is he saying there? He had a set of burdens appointed unto him, but with that assigned burden came deliverance, came salvation. So God is going to deliver you out of them. He's not just going to put you into burdens and leave you there, hoping that somehow you're going to build character by having all these burdens. He's going to, as a part of that process, building character through assigned burden, he's going to give you deliverance. He's going to give you salvation. He's going to give you a way through it. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. That's called an assignment, isn't it? 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. What is that verse saying? It's saying that Christ had burdens, and we are following in his footsteps, which is to say that we too will suffer burdens. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So when these trials and tribulations come, when these burdens are assigned to you, and everybody's going to get different forms, a lot of us will share the same burdens, other of us will have our own burdens. Some of the burdens that we have will be the result of actions we take, circumstances that we're in, but God is watching each and every person individually and lording it over those burdens. So nothing is going to be brought to you that is too much for you to bear. You have God's promise on that. But we will encounter these things. So all those verses had to do with burdens being appointed to us. Now let's look at the promise that I just mentioned. Does God help us with our burdens? Does God help us with our burdens? John 6:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying, that, you know, this is the same person that we're following in his footsteps. He is confirming what we read earlier, that he had sufferings, and he's telling us that we shall have tribulation or burdens. But despite that, we should be of good cheer because we're looking ahead to when this is all done away. We'll talk about that later. Romans 8, verses 35 through 37, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, so we're going to get a list of burdens here, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep. There's that word sheep. We're being referred to continually in scriptures as sheep. That will figure into this later. For the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So again, we have a list of burdens. And we're then told that God will take us through that. We're going to be conquerors of burdens. Some of these burdens are going to be great weights upon you. They will seem like insurmountable, impossible things to handle. But God will make us conquerors. And we're to have a certain perspective as we look at the burdens now, because we're heading to a place where there are no burdens. Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Well, there you go. There's the place to put the burden. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's a promise. So when you're faced with that insurmountable thing, that insurmountable burden, that heavy burden, that impossible to move burden, you can take that verse right to him, and it says, but Father, you say, and I'm holding you to it, you shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That is, the burden's not going to win. The burden is not going to win. Using Psalm 55 and 22, the one I just read to you, here are some scriptures that speak to our casting our burden upon the Lord. So if you're reading along in the text, casting our burdens upon the Lord. So God is delivering us out of our burden, but then we have an action step as a part of that process. We don't have to just wait. Well, I'm just going to wait here and hope that the Lord come and help me with this burden. We can actually take the burden to Him. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. So we got both parts here. We're waiting on the Lord, looking at those promises under, does God help us with our burdens? And while we wait, we're going to be of good courage because the burden is still there. And then it says, He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So that's, again, confirmation of the promise that He is going to come and help us with that burden. Psalm 42, verses 10 and 11, as with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So interesting here, it's pointing out that in verse 10 there, that part of the burdens you might encounter are people, enemies, reproaching you, smiting you, persecuting you, giving you a hard time, seeking your demise, reporting you to others with great relish to see you destroyed, looking at you closely, finding errors or what they think are errors, so they can report those kind of things to others, either in gossip or in accusation and persecution. Anybody ever have that happen? Isaiah 50 and verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? So even if we find ourselves in situations where we're hungry, thirsty, and lacking clothing, that would be a burden. The want of those things is a burden. The concern, the worry for the lack of those things is a burden, and God will take care of us. Matthew 6, 31 through 34, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Which is to tell us there in verse 32 that God knows what the burdens are. No burden is going to enter your life but what God already knows about it. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, what is that talking about? That is putting your perspective into the kingdom, isn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? It's a place where there's no burdens. So you know that this time of life is short. Since this is the only life you have, you don't think of it as being short or long compared to anything else. But if we are seeking first the kingdom of God, what are we doing? We're putting this life, this very short life, mentioned so many places in the Bible as just a breath, nothing compared to eternity. If we are seeking the kingdom of God, then what are we doing? How do you seek the kingdom of God? You think about yourself being in the kingdom of God, looking back. And my question to you is, and I may just do this in the kingdom of God. I may come and find you and say, now, I want you to remember the sermons that we've had about burdens and trials and tribulations. And I just, since you heard that sermon, I want to ask you a question. You're now a spirit being in the kingdom of God. What power did those burdens have? What power did those burdens have? So if I can ask you that question then, why can't I ask you now? Because if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, what are you doing? You're seeing the kingdom. You're seeing yourself in the kingdom looking back. And you get a different perspective on these trials and tribulations, aren't you? That's what part of seeking first the kingdom of God. That also means stay with the process. You had a verse before where the person wanted to halt. Well, you can't halt in the salvation process. You must keep going forward. So part of seeking first the kingdom of God is to stay in the process moving forward. The other is to have perspective on trials. If you have 50, 60, 70 years of trials and tribulations, what does that count to 10 trillion years of no trials and tribulations? Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise for now and ultimately for the kingdom. So part of your seeking first the kingdom of God is to read Matthew 11:28. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God already knows what your burdens are, but he wants you, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be known to God. What are your requests going to be? Help me through this. Help me with this burden. Help me through this burden. Take this burden away. Take this burden off my shoulders. You take it. Verse 7, but the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ. What is this peace of God which passeth all understanding? The kingdom of God. Again, you want to be in the kingdom of God, looking back. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Can you imagine going through life carrying burdens and problems and not knowing about the kingdom? Not knowing that there's an end to it? I mean, God is showing us ways through it. He's showing us how to act with the burdens. And he's taking us mentally and emotionally into the kingdom of God so we can look back and see that it is comparatively less, and so we have a promise, we have a goal in mind. It's hard, like in my exercise program, it's hard to knock out 21 miles, but it isn't hard when I have a destination. I've told you several times in my exercise program, it isn't about the exercise, it's about the goal. So I have a goal for each day. It's not the 21 miles, that's not my goal. My goal is to get to the next city on the map. That makes the 21 miles happen. When I worked for the Forest Service, I had a foreman, and we were all out on the line with shovels. And we were digging, actually we were backfilling a barrier against the sea. So we were right down on the beach, and we made the barrier of logs, and we had to then throw all the sand behind the barrier that we had just made with the logs. And the foreman kept saying to us, all you have to do is fill the back of the shovel. You do not have to fill up the whole shovel. Just fill up the back of the shovel. The front of the shovel will take care of itself. And that's what God is telling us to do. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Here are some scriptures that speak to God, not allowing us to be moved out of our place. So we're now going to enter into a set of scriptures with the heading there in your text, God will not allow us to be moved. That is, he's not going to allow the burden to beat us. Psalms 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So if God is at your right hand, if Christ is in and through you, working through these things with you, by the way that you handle burdens, move burdens, give over to God the burden, that's all being done by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you. So I have set the Lord always before me, because, and a person uttering those words understands that all these righteous things you're doing with burdens and about burdens is by the power of the Holy Spirit, not your power. Psalms 37:24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So how did that get handled there? He fell. He was utterly cast down. That's called burden. How did that get overcome? The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He held him up. He picked him back up. Now, anybody looking at that verse, that utterance, and say, oh yeah, the guy fell down, got up on his own power, and just continued on. No, that isn't what it says. It says the Lord upholdeth him. That's the only upholding that's going on. The Lord's doing it. Psalm 62 and verse 2, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. So why is he not being greatly moved? Because of God, the rock, his salvation, his defense. That covers all burdens, doesn't it? Psalm 62, now verse 6. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. So you're handling your burden. You don't want the burden to beat you. What is your expectation when you're beset with a burden? Your expectation is God. All of these different verses on where God is, what God is doing with the burden. That's all this. God will not allow us to be moved. Psalm 121, verse 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So we're just humans. We're puny humans. We have to sleep. He doesn't slumber. So awake or asleep, wherever we are, he is there helping us through this situation. 1 Samuel 2:9, He will keep the feet of the saints, and the wicked shall be silent in the darkness. Boy, I would think that if there you are with your burden, but you are a first fruit, you're in the light, and here comes God. Here comes God. He's always at your side. What do the wicked do? They get back in the darkness. I think if I was the wicked one, I would get back into the darkness too, rather than suffer the wrath of God. For thy strength shall no man prevail. Again, showing that part of your burdens will come from humans. John 10, 27 through 30. My sheep, there's that word again, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Well, there's your kingdom perspective. I give unto them eternal life. Oh, am I getting eternal life today? No, but he's giving me onto eternal life. He's showing us, that's another phraseology there in part, showing us eternal life. What is a burden that you have? What is that burden that you can't say to that, hey, burden, I'm heading towards eternal life where there's no burdens. Get thee far from me. It says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So who's stronger, your enemy or Almighty God through Christ? Verse 29, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So again, there's another kingdom perspective. What is this? Who are kept by the power of God? That's talking about the trial, the burden you have, the cargo in your ship, who are kept by the power of God. So all the trials, the tribulations, the burdens, you are kept by the power of God through faith. Caveat for you. You are kept by the power of God one way, through faith. What kind of faith? Same faith God has. Where onto? Onto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. We know that it's going to be revealed. That's part of kingdom perspective. Earlier in Romans 8:35, I read Romans 8:35. Let's see what God has to say related to this verse. And Romans 8:35, again, is, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? A list of burdens. So now we're going to look at overcoming tribulations and trials. Overcoming tribulations and trials. For the phrase, who shall separate us from the love of Christ, first part of Romans 8:35, we have Psalms 103 and verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto God's unto children's children. John 10, verse 28, and I gave unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. So again, you're seeing requirements by the first root there. Verse 14, whereunto you are he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, we got to go through trials and tribulations, part of the building of character. That's why God is assigning those to us, to build character. But as we build that character, we do what? Verse 14, obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did this before us. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Now for the phrase in Romans 8:35, that list of burdens, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness nor peril or sword, we have Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Look at that phrase. Tribulation, burden, worketh patience, godly principle, fruit of the Spirit. And then it says in verse 4, and patience, experience, and experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So God gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we could invoke that power, and through the trials worketh these godly principles, which do what? Help us through the trials and the tribulations and the burdens. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Has that ever happened in the church of God? Has anybody in and around the body of Christ ever reviled you, persecuted you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely? Has to be in the Bible for some reason, doesn't it? Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. There's no justification for the enemy to persecute you and to say all manner of evil against you, to work their life to see if they can find something wrong with you. But it's going to happen. No justification for it. Matthew 10, 28 through 31, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father knowing, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So God is showing us, that's a promise from God, that he'll be by our sides to help us carry the burdens that we're going to give to him. Luke 21, verses 12 through 18, but before all these, they shall lay their hands upon you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Wow. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Where's that testimony coming from? God. So all being brought before the being brought up in the synagogues and prisons before kings and rulers for the sake of Jesus Christ. So you're being given a burden there for Christ's sake, so you can give a testimony. Verse 14, settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. There's doom and gloom coming to those that persecute first fruits. And you shall be betrayed both by what? parents, brethren, kinsfolk, friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Wow, I don't see in that list in verse 16 enemies. I guess they are enemies, but it's referring to people that I wouldn't think would be persecuting me or falsely accusing me or looking for something that I can tell others about you. It says here, parents, brethren, kinfolks, and friends, so much as they might put you to death. God will take care of you even then. Verse 17, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not be a hair of your head perish. Speaking ultimately, John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Again, kingdom perspective. Acts 20:23-24, so Acts 20 verses 23 and 24, save that the Holy Spirit witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let me tell you that when certain burdens come upon you, the first thing that will go, the first thing that will be attacked, is joy. The joy will come out of your life. It's part of that verse that said, I wanted to halt. Why would somebody want to halt? Because there's no more joy. And joy is a very important. It's why it's made in that short list of godly principles. Joy is very important to keep going forth. But Paul says, I have finished my course with joy. In other words, he wouldn't let the enemy, the persecutor, the one constantly attacking him, turning him in, calling people on the phone, is not going to take away the joy. Don't let that happen. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Glory, kingdom of God. Life now, the burdens now, for a moment. Again, putting you in a kingdom perspective. So you're getting a lot of verses that are giving you that kingdom perspective. 2 Corinthians 11:23-27. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure. He's listing some burdens here. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Mr. Armstrong even said some of those stonings he got actually killed him, and he was resurrected after they walked away. He was brought back to life. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. That also in deaths off. That's also, he was put in situations that would take him on to death if God did not intercede, stop it. So what Mr. Armstrong said, true, but it's also referring to in deaths off. You can be in a situation that if you weren't saved in a moment, that you would be in death. So it's a death situation, in deaths oft. Verse 25, thrice was I beaten rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and the night have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. I said this is a pretty good list of burdens. You might want to compare his list to yours. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, interesting, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 4:16-18. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Low be to those that do those things. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Wow. The humans left, God stood with him and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Read that verse, and you've done part of seeking ye first the kingdom of God. Any verse that is speaking to, hey, I know you've got burdens now, not to be compared to the kingdom of God. Hebrews 13, beginning at verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. So when you get word of somebody carrying burdens, we do this with prayer requests, but there's a lot of other burdens, not just the prayer request for physical maladies and sickness, but we all carry them. And as you know about them, it says, remember them that are in bonds. That means that you have privy knowledge that somebody has a burden as bound with them. So you should pray and act as if you were with them. And them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable unto all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation or your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them that have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation or conduct. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priests for sin are burned without the camp. These are words of comfort showing you that you're going to make it to the kingdom of God, and all these people that practice evilness are going to have their reward. James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. 1 Peter 1, 5 through 7, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, again, kingdom perspective, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. This is called burdens. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, there's that furnace again, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So yeah, you have to go through the trials and tribulations and carry the burdens. You're being admonished to take those burdens into your prayer closet, give them to God. And what are you looking for? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, kingdom of God. No more burdens. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. See, when we get to that appearing of Christ, what were all those trials? Nothing. Verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and their part, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. See, when anybody comes at you unrighteously and is looking for some error that they can get on the phone and tell everybody, woe be to that person. Woe be to that person. Evil is going to be spoken of, but your part is looking for the glory. Revelation 7, 14 through 17, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white with the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in the temple, and he that sitteth up on the throne shall dwell among them. For they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and shall wipe away their tears from their eyes. So again, another promise after all these things are going to happen. We are now at the action steps, as if you hadn't received a lot of action steps already in the previous part of this sermon. But I'm going to give you some action steps to deal with the burdens. Many items could be on this list, but I will start the list for you. Many items could be on this list, including praying all you are able, giving time to meditation. Clearly, this is a sermon that needs a lot of meditation. Immersing yourselves into the Word of God. Occasionally fasting. Having a 10,000-year perspective. View things from the Kingdom of God perspective looking back. And you do that with all the promises of and all of the admonitions you have from God to have that kingdom perspective. I just threw out 10,000 as I'm putting you well into the kingdom looking back. So when I say 10,000-year perspective, I'm just putting you way, not just your first day in the kingdom, I'm putting you way into the kingdom. What is going to be your 10,000 earth year perspective of all these trials and tribulations and burdens? That is the perspective I want you to have. And bringing all things to the Christ level. We got too many people in this world and too many people around the body of Christ that are always thinking on the physical level. All of their false accusations, all of their chiding and murmuring, it's all at the level of the human. They never take anything into the Christ level. How many times have I been in conversations? I said, well, where's Christ? Where is Christ in this? And even more so, let's talk about another being. Where's Satan? Where is Satan in this? Because the person who is not going to the Christ level is not seeing the enemy. They're not understanding evil. They're not understanding what they're even doing. Now add to those things, be praying all you can, meditation, immersing yourself in the Word of God, occasional fasting, having a 10,000-year perspective, and bringing everything to the Christ level. Add to these things from these verses. Trust in God. Do not trust your own understanding. Acknowledge God and let Him direct your paths. I had a burden the other day, hit me pretty hard, and I started thinking from both what my human mind would do and what I should be looking at. And this is the verse that covers that. Epiphany that I had was, wow, I have a great trial before me. I have a great burden before me, and my natural proclivity is to be in your face. I'm coming after you. I'm coming back at you. And these type of things. Or I'm going to have thoughts. Oh, yeah? And all the thoughts that come in there, oh, yeah? That type of thing. But the epiphany that I had was 99 out of 100 thoughts I'm going to have in regards to this are probably going to be wrong. So we have a verse that says, do not trust in your own understanding, your own proclivities, your own way of wanting to handle it, but acknowledge God. Part of acknowledging God is that you understand that a burden has been put upon you. And it says, let Him direct your path. So God, you're acknowledging to God, wow, I have been beset with a great burden here. And I know that my understanding is going to be wrong 99 out of 100 thoughts that I'm going to have. So I'm going to put my trust in you, and you must direct my path. That all comes from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Part of that acknowledging is understanding, is acknowledging that His way is going to be right, and my thought processes are going to be wrong most of the time. And He shall direct thy paths. More for your list. Do not allow yourself to be troubled. Do not be afraid. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You might want to study and see when that was being said. Give all of your burdens to God. Give all your burdens to God. We've been talking about that through this sermon. You have to give the burdens to God. A lot of your burdens are going to be impossible things, hard things to carry. And we're going to see why they are hard things to carry. It's built into the design of what God is doing here. But give all of your burdens to God. What does it say in 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He must careth for you. He called you to the salvation process to put you into his family. He assigned you these burdens. Now, what does he want you to do with the assigned burdens? Count on him. Look to him to show the way and give the burdens to him. Another thing for your list, help others with their burdens. You saw a verse on that. We're supposed to have concern for the other one as if we were right there in that burden. So we have help others with their burdens directly and in prayer. Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We all are going to have burdens, aren't we? Rid yourself of anxious thoughts and pray to God and make your request be known. We handled this earlier with Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, there's no understanding it, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is a part of giving it, give the burden over to God. Let your hope and faith be in the Word of God and meditate on God's Word. Before I said one of the things on the list, immerse yourself in the Word of God. Need a verse? Psalm 119, verses 147 through 149. I prevented the dawning of the morning and I cried, I hoped in thy Word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. That is, immerse yourself in the word of God, meditate on God's word, and let that word, which is the mind of Christ and God, be a part of you. You becoming like Christ. You allowing more and more every day for Christ to be working in and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit, handling those burdens, taking you through the insurmountable obstacles. Do not allow the evil or the wicked person to beat you down. Maintain your steadfastness. Proverbs 25 and verse 26. The righteous man falleth down before the wicked. The righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain or a corrupt spring. And so we can't have that. What that is saying is that the righteous man giving in, halting, as the verse said, before the wicked, you cannot let the wicked win. You have to maintain your joy. You can't let any man take your crown. Finally, keep this in mind. The first fruits of God are referred to as lambs and sheep. You remember me pointing that out at least three times in the scripture where we were referred to as lambs. I'll give you two more. John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto them, Feed my lambs. So he's referring to the congregation, to the first fruits, the soon to be first fruits, the congregation, as it were, feed my lambs. And he's actually extrapolating that out into time because he's giving him an admonition for his entire life in the ministry. In his apostleship, feed my lambs. So he's referring to the congregation that he is about to call on the day of Pentecost and beyond. Feed my lambs. Lambs. Why not horses or oxen? No. Lambs. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as what? Oxen? No. Sheep. into the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Sheep and lambs are not beasts of burden. See, God knows what he's doing here. He's using the right labels. What is he trying to tell us by calling us lambs and sheep? He's showing us that if we look at that metaphor that he is laying on us, that sheep and lambs are not beasts of burden. They are not designed to carry heavy burdens. God is asking us and commanding us to give those burdens to him. When you go into your prayer closets with your burdens, take all the steps necessary to ensure that you are not still carrying them as you come out of the prayer closet. Remember the words of your Savior, Jesus Christ, in Matthew 11. Final verse, Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Which is to say, if we put ourselves into the hands of Almighty God, through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we get to shed ourselves of all our burdens and carry his, which is light, because, see, he's carrying it. His yoke is easy. His burden is light, because what that is giving you a picture of is now you are a first fruit walking down the path that God is directing your way, and though you are having burdens as you go along, assigned burdens, somebody is there with their hands making that burden light, or taking that burden from you, or working you through the burden and taking it from you, giving you peace as you go through the trial and the tribulation and all of the things that we mentioned on that long, long list of burdens. So take it all to Christ and use these tools, these action steps, to deal with your burdens.